I don't know any Chinese, so apologies. I also got here last night around 9 p.m. after flying for 15 hours. So if I fall asleep in the middle of the session, it's not you guys, it's me. So try to keep it brief. Maybe questions in the end. I don't know how you guys do it here. Or if there's questions, then in the end we'll ask questions. So last questions. Like I said, my name is Nir. I'm the director of program or product management for Azure App Service. Anyone here used Azure App Service, Azure Websites, Azure Web Apps? Oh, we have a lot of people to convince. Okay, we have five lucky people who got to enjoy it. So let's make sure we have more in the end. So I'm very excited to be able to talk about it. I'm actually the third employee in this team. We started about 5 years ago. And I'll walk you through a little bit of what it's about. This presentation is more from the perspective of a business user, like what is the value of going to the cloud. Tomorrow I have two sessions for developers, one about developing web and mobile apps, and another about API and API management. Yeah? No? Okay. We'll try again. Still. So you get a Microsoft guy who doesn't know how to use PowerPoint. It's very disappointing. Yeah, all right. Cool, so I think that by now we all know that every company is a software company. Even traditional businesses can get a lot of value from using the cloud. We have an unprecedented opportunity to talk to our customers with using mobile devices, with using essentially what is unlimited computing power that exists in the cloud. That opens up opportunities for disruptive business model. Example I like to use is companies like Uber or Lyft, where essentially with the power of a mobile device and the ability to optimize routes and how they price things, they're able to essentially disrupt an industry like taxi cabs, or they're much more aggressive than that. They want to revolutionize transportation. So, for example, I've recently heard some story on the radio in the United States where there's a whole city in Florida that's going to not have city buses anymore, and they're going to hire Uber to actually supply transportations for them. So that's something we just couldn't do 5 to 10 years ago. We didn't have the computing power, we didn't have the cheap devices that those drivers or the customers can use. So it's a time of great opportunity for us to build applications in the cloud. What we think is unique, or we know is unique about the Azure platform here, is the ability to take existing assets that you already have in your enterprise and leverage new technologies like open source, like continuous integration, to be competitive. You can do all these things like deploy your code very quickly, iterating all the time, and so on. So this is sort of about the cloud. Let's see. So I think, again, to kind of drop one more level, today we have all these devices out there, normal form factors, they're all cheap and standard, and you have all of this data that is essentially locked in the back end on your enterprise. One other interesting thing for me, at least, so I've been in software development 26 years now, and we sort of rewrite all the software in the universe every 5 years, even faster these days, right? So we're taking the stuff that we had, and we're able to move it to the cloud and realize all of these value props and the ability, again, to engage with our customers in better ways and to drive our business forward. Let's see if this will work for me. No. All right. Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. Ah, okay. So this is my favorite slide, mostly because I came up with it. I'm going to talk about platform as a service today, so I wanted to sort of define it. So let's say your app is dinner. You can go to the grocery store and buy all the ingredients. That's IaaS, Infrastructure as a Service. So we've seen in kind of the first generation of the cloud, if you will, we've seen a lot of people just doing what is we like to call lift and shift. You have the system, it's in your enterprise, now you want to move it to the cloud. Cloud vendors are out there, some of them are traditional hosters or co-locators. They'll take it and put it in the cloud for you. It doesn't realize the value of the cloud, and essentially you have to essentially do the same stuff you used to do. You still have to manage your machines, you still have to patch them, you still have to scale them, and so on. On the other hand, we have the ability to go to a fancy restaurant. So I don't know, since I came here to Taiwan, everyone's trying to feed me, so apparently it's the food capital of the universe. So I'm sure I'll get that tonight and tomorrow night. That's software as a service, right? So one thing Salesforce.com has done a magnificent work with was to take a problem like CRM, customer relationship management, and make it a commodity. Again, when I started to write code, 1992, if you wanted a CRM system, it cost a bunch of money. The cheapest one was like $5,000, and you had to install it on a bunch of PCs, and you had to synchronize the data. Someone like Salesforce came in, you log into a website, you get a CRM schema, and you're off to the races for a very competitive price. And what we learned there, which was very revolutionary in its time, was that customers are willing to accept a little bit less functionality to get the software quickly and be able to pay much less for it. So when you think about the sort of definition for what they call disruptive technology, technology that kind of breaks a new boundary, going back to the Uber or for Salesforce.com examples, they create a new market and they also create a significantly cheaper solution. So that's software as a service. And then you have what we call platform as a service. So let's say you still like to cook, like me. There's this company in the United States called Blue Apron. So I deleted the logo from this so I don't get in trouble. Hopefully not now that everyone's taking a picture. But these guys, they send you a box every week with three dinners. They send you all of the ingredients and a recipe. So all you have to do is basically cook it yourself. So my family and I started doing that a few weeks ago. It's great. My son, he's 13. He actually hangs out with his parents, helps us cook. We all eat together. It's awesome. The interesting point here is that the other week, I was not at home. My wife and son came together, and they basically took two of these meals and combined them. So they had the noodles with the steak and the fish together. The point I'm trying to make with this boring story is that with platform as a service or with Azure App Service, we do give you all the tools, we give you all the ingredients to create your dinner, but you can also customize it. And I'll show some of that as we walk through my presentation today. So Azure App Service, I'm trying this new tagline, so that's not Microsoft approved yet, so some more trouble for me. But this is platform as a service that developers love to use. I can't speak enough about that, so that's why they gave me 2 hours tomorrow, so I can tell developer stories. But also managers can trust, meaning it's secure, it's enterprise ready, it meets all the compliance standards, and it integrates very well with other Azure services and Microsoft technologies. Also available on-prem with our hybrid cloud solution. Cool, so we put it in context. I'm going again to talk specifically about Azure App Service today. I don't have the slide here, but it obviously integrates with a bunch of other Azure technologies. And as we go through the presentation, when I show you some reference use cases of customers that are using it, you'll see how other facets of Azure kind of integrate into that. So real quick, we have type of apps. So a bit of history, like I mentioned, we started this project 5 years ago, which in cloud time, it's like, you know, 500 years or something. And we went on our first public preview 4 years ago in June. So we're almost hitting our four-year birthday. We're out of diapers. We can walk, can talk a little bit. And what we've seen is customers using our solutions in certain ways. The nice thing about working on this team and in general about this area is that unlike 10 years ago when I worked for the Windows business and we shipped again every 2 years, I wasn't able to talk to customers as much as I do today. But today my customers are a tweet away. They're very vocal. They'll tell me exactly how they feel about things. So it's great for us to be able to continuously improve our product. Just to give you an example, we have something like, I think we have hundreds of features in this product, and we basically release all the time. We have a release going every day for different facets of it. So it's great to get the feedback. And as we look at type of applications that customers use, this is what customers told us they want to build. So the stuff on the top row, if you will, are apps that we've seen customers building. E-commerce, global presence, and so on. And I'll go in depth into each of those. And then we build them on our services. Our services are the services that developers would use. So again, I'll dig into that in depth into more sessions. But real quick, we have an API stack that allows you to create APIs, manage them, publish them, and so on. We have mobile apps. That is a not so good name for this product. But basically, it's a backend for mobile applications. And we'll show some demos tomorrow of how we have, with our recent acquisition of Xamarin, we have a full story to be able to create enterprise-specific mobile applications. We have a notification, push notification technology called Notification Hubs, which is super competitive because it allows you to send one notification to all mobile platforms, and it has personalization. We have web apps that are kind of the original product that we shipped with Azure websites, used almost with a million applications by now. And then we recently launched Azure Functions, which is our first kind of major jump into serverless computing, event-based computing, and support for IoT. Again, tomorrow I'll show some demos of that. Underneath, there's a platform. So today, when I talk to customers, I talk to big companies. A lot of these guys, or you guys, you come out and say, I want to buy a PaaS product. It's a quadrant that is known by Gartner. It's sort of a niche. And as a PaaS platform, we're very competitive. So customers come to me and say, hey, how do you compare to Cloud Foundry or Google App Engine or AWS Beanstalk? Not Beanstalk. Yeah, Beanstalk. And what we talk about is we talk about the platform of app service. Again, more details in sessions tomorrow. But the important point here is that you have one platform that is very robust. It's transformable from the public cloud to the private cloud. You can build all these applications, and then you can sort of make your own dinner with the type of apps that we support. There's a fancy, yeah, nice. So today I'll talk mostly about app types. Again, if we have time and we'll have questions, I'd be happy to answer more, and tomorrow I'll go in depth into the middle tier, into services. Okay, so this is sort of the same slide in a different view of the type of solution we see on Azure App Service. I'll go into each type. We'll have some slides explaining them. But basically, again, these are things we've seen customers building, and over time we started optimizing for. Digital marketing platform, as we talked in the beginning, you can't be an enterprise today without having a very strong sort of presence on the internet. It started with .com websites, which were sort of the first thing we've seen people build. But today it's a mobile app. It's some kind of a loyalty program. You know, there's many companies that essentially drive their business through their .com presence. So we look at some examples of that. Website migration, there's many websites that exist in on-prem, in your own data centers or with traditional hosters. Moving them to the cloud or moving them to app service especially gives a lot of benefits because of the integration with backend systems, because of the huge ecosystem of partners and other services. We look at that. E-commerce apps, again, we didn't design for that. We've just seen a bunch of customers leverage our solution for that, so we'll see some architectures. And then the interesting sort of parts on the right side are apps that were either designed to the cloud, that's the large scale apps or hyperscale. You have apps, and I'll talk about it a bit more in depth, that are designed to have stuff like you know, a million RPS requests per second to, for a few days. Like a bunch of apps we've done for recent elections in North America. Those things are designed to the, for the cloud. No one's going to build them in a data center because they'll have to buy 1,000 servers and get stuck with them. So we'll look a little bit about that. And then app modernization, you know, I checked into, not this flight, but I flew inside the United States. I'll talk about this customer, but there's an airline in Seattle called Alaska Airlines. They're kind of these, they're a bit cheaper and they're going very well. And when you go there and you give them your bag, they use a mobile device that is either an iPhone or an iOS device or whatever to take a picture of that of your tag. And they didn't lose my bag, so apparently it's working. And they basically use all of these new technologies to keep building these apps that are either employee-facing or later on customer-facing. Cool, so talking a little bit about the marketing platform. So like I said, this is more than just creating a .com. You have to create what they call microsites when you launch a campaign, when you launch a new product. Those microsites might get a lot of traction. You need to make sure that you can auto-scale. You need to make sure they're always available because those days of launch are critical for your business. You can't have your site down when you launch a new product. You can host different things in different regions, and you can leverage a bunch of tools to understand your customer behavior. So we sort of drink our own Kool-Aid on this one. Like I said, in Azure App Service, we have close to a million applications running now with hundreds of thousands of customers, and the way we try to make their experience better is by collecting all the data about how they use it, and then we use our own tools like Azure ML and Azure implementation of HD Insights for Hadoop to crunch the data and come up with analysis about our customers. We understand which segments, and then we bring it back into our product by making our product better. So we figure out that customers need to use a feature in order to, there's one feature that's more popular that gets them to use the product more. We'll go and invest in a feature like that. All these functionalities are available to you as our customers. So this is sort of the stock architecture of a site that has high availability and is optimized for performance. So I think I'll talk, there's some slides about that, but in the middle we have what we call app service environment. That's a sort of a virtual private cloud where you can take all of app service with all of its functionality and create an instance of it that is local to your company or is dedicated. You can then scale it up or down based on your needs, and you have more customization capabilities as far as security and as far as connectivity. This is a product we came up with based on essentially requirements from companies, from customers. You can use a content management system to drive your website, so something like WordPress, which is essentially by now an industry standard. Everyone uses WordPress for their websites. We support one-click installation of WordPress. We support MySQL through a partner. Obviously, we have our own database, and we have several abilities to improve your speed using a CDN network that, where we partner with a couple of large CDN providers and our Azure Cache solution, which is Redis Cache, which is open source framework installed on Azure. You can use Azure Storage to store images, stream videos, and so on. And you can use a feature we call authentication and authorization, or EasyAuth, to literally, with one click, create a Facebook login or a multi-login for all of the large social networks to your website, so you can track who your customer is. and localize or personalize the experience for them. So one example with that is Heineken. This is, I think, a brand that is known even here. Some of them that I'm not sure about, but basically they went and modernized their whole kind of infrastructure on top of Azure and on top of Azure App Service. One of the very early adapters of our product. And they use sort of the full meal deal. They use our CDN in order to accelerate performance based on the geo regions where their apps are running. And they're able to use our compute capabilities to customize and personalize their website and apps for their customers. Talking about website migration, so I think that a lot of customers have a lot of stuff that's running on-prem. We've built a tool, actually. I don't have a link here, but it's called appropriately Move Me to the Cloud.net, and it takes a website that was built on IIS on our Microsoft web server and moves it to Azure App Service to the cloud. But that's only the beginning, because as soon as you have your website in the cloud, again, you would want a mobile application that maybe personalizes or gives some functionality to your end user. And you want to start learning about how your customers behave so you can improve your business. So with a combination of all our other services, you can go ahead and create an app or a website that will represent your business. You can use our notifications hubs to send messages to your customers, and then you can use something like our Azure mobile engagement product that allows you to learn about how your customers use your mobile apps, and you can drive improvements into that through our continuous integration channel. So again, how does an architecture for a large-scale website look like? You would want your app service environments. In this case, you would have them in two geographical regions in case of disaster. You can have either replication between them, or you can have a passive to active model. You use Azure Traffic Manager to create one web address for your app. And then you can use our CDN to accelerate, and all of our backend to keep your data for later analysis. Also, our data solution with SQL Server, or it's not SQL Azure anymore, it's Azure SQL DB, I think. You can set it up to replicate and have a master node and a slave node, so you can deal with disasters. NHS is the healthcare system for the UK, for England. They're using the cloud in order to further their presence to their customers. It's a critical thing, obviously, to make sure that their customers have visibility into what's going on. So they're deployed in a few data centers. We have data centers by now. I believe there's more than 20 geo regions where Azure is running, which is actually much more than Google and Amazon combined, but not that we're counting. They can have a solution that is geo-distributed. So as far as app modernization, so we talked a lot about, here's how I look to my customers. I can create all these apps and websites and mobile apps that tell my story as a brand and as a company. But there's a lot of data and capabilities that you can unlock by essentially modernizing applications that your employees use. So going back to the example I'll show more in a moment for Alaska Airlines, they needed to build a bunch of mobile apps. It just makes their life easier. So they had this thing where people could, if you need to travel as an employee, you're always on the standby list, but there was no mobile app for that. They needed a website, or they had a website. So people had to use their laptop. So those guys actually took Azure App Service and Azure Mobile Services, and there was some hackathon over the weekend, and they created this application that allows them to basically travel as employees. All this data is locked in your backend systems over in your corporate, You can create all these applications for your employees, again, to make their life better and make them better at serving your customers. So we have very impressive set of capabilities there. A lot of that is because we're Microsoft, right? So we've been in enterprise for many years. We have a lot of capabilities, and we helped a lot of customers be successful in the enterprise. All these capabilities are sort of locked there, and we allow people to graduate into the cloud in many ways. We've announced a Windows Azure Pack, which is, Windows Azure Pack? Azure Stack, sorry. So Windows Azure Pack is what is already available. Azure Stack is the next iteration of that, and that's basically a private cloud. So customers can go and install all of the benefits of Azure and run it on-prem. That's something that large customers in North America want, like banks and so on. The predecessor for Azure Stack is Windows Azure Pack. So there's a large bank in the United States that is using it. And basically, they have their own private cloud where their developers can enjoy the benefits of the public cloud. They can develop very quickly. They don't have to go provision machines. They don't have to go patch their machines. All they have to do is sort of innovate. So we have everything from, hey, my stuff will run on-prem forever, all the way out to a cloud application where my stuff will run in the cloud, and I'll use this technology we call hybrid connections, where I'll tunnel into my on-prem environment and read or write data into that. So again, very exciting capabilities. One thing that is really cool is our API management product that, again, I'll demo a little bit tomorrow, that allows you to take APIs you have on-prem and map them into public endpoints. So I don't know if it's in this deck, but we have a story with a big healthcare provider in North America that took a bunch of APIs, exposed them, and they're able to meet all of these legal requirements of the new healthcare law in the United States, which is a big deal over the. So a little bit of how these infrastructures would look. You have all of your different clients. You can integrate with Azure AD, which means you can bring in all of your logins and all of your permissioning system from on-prem and synchronize. So you can have all these apps now authenticating against your enterprise systems. No more VPN. You don't need to create complicated configurations for people to log into your enterprise. You can use one of these app service environments. Again, those create a level of security for you because that belongs only to your enterprise. And you can use our more higher-end networking integration capabilities where you can take one of these app service environments and essentially use one of our virtual private network or VNet, sorry, capabilities to join that to your corporate network. So in those cases, you can use, again, mix, make your dinner with those different ingredients. You can use a little bit of web apps, API, mobile apps to create a very engaging experience even for your employees. And then you are able to go and integrate with your legacy systems in a secure way using our VNets. So some examples of that, we have Skanska is a company that does a lot of construction. They needed the system to be able to measure the environmental impact of their job sites on the environment, so created a specific sort of an IoT solution. Transport for London, that's the subway system, started again as a hackathon project where they created a mobile app that allows employees to, if they go around the system and they see some trash or some kind of something broken, they can report it basically to the company. And they got one of those app service environments. And once you have that, you're paying for all this compute power, so you can build more applications. So now they have an app service environment, and they keep adding these type of applications. And as they kind of grow, they kind of start liking the system and they learn how to use Azure, they're going to start building customer-facing applications. So soon they'll have mobile applications built on Azure that allow customers to buy tickets and keep their credit and so on. That's sort of for employee-facing applications. I think that these capabilities are very exciting for enterprises because there's always stuff you want to improve. There's another very strong functionality that we've announced in public preview. We had it in private preview for a while, called Power Apps, where even a non-coder can go and build these applications. So with Power Apps, you'll be able to go to a SharePoint list, basically hit a button and get a mobile application that is based on that. And then you'll be able to extend those things using Azure App Service. So talking a little bit about the hyperscale. I love these alien things. I guess they're going at hyper light speed or something. So these are what I call born in the cloud or cloud native applications. So we've started to see, now that the cloud is sort of a commodity, we see a lot of people that, again, need to launch these huge events like an election, like some kind of a contest or a survey and so on. They obviously don't want to buy the hardware on-prem, and they have the luxury of designing for the cloud from zero. It means all of their layers are asynchronous. They have multi-geo distribution of their applications. It's more resilient and so on. And you can really reach a huge amount of traffic on a daily basis with those. And again, we've seen customers building those, and we've seen partners that are starting to specialize in building these type of applications. We have sort of a vertical, up service in mind, I'll get to that in a second. We have sort of a vertical business here with elections in the United States and Canada, where we do a lot of election applications, where people collect data in polls or exit polls and so on. It goes into the system, gets tabulated, and then you see this real-time sort of website where you show your election results. I think I have a use case for that in a second to show. Talking a little bit about the app service environment, I think that I mentioned it several times. I think the takeaway I want to have you guys come out with is that we're able to support any type of scale. So if you have some developer that just want to experience it, I'll show it in the end. We have this thing called Try App Service, where you can come in, create an app. The app will live for about 24 hours, and you can play with it. All the way to this localized the app service environment, which is, again, this sort of virtual private cloud. In the middle there, we have multi-tenant solution. We have the ability to reserve one server in a pool and auto-scale that. But with app service environment, you're essentially getting your own set of servers. You can connect them to your virtual network, and then they're connected to your on-prem systems. You can auto-scale it, and you can customize what runs on each of the tiers. And again, you have the capability to run as many apps on these servers as you want. So it's sort of like buying an application server for your enterprise. You buy it once or something like SharePoint, and you can host a bunch of applications on that and then set up auto-scale rules in case one of them becomes really noisy. So again, some architecture of these born in the cloud systems. Again, using Traffic Manager to distribute the traffic. Traffic Manager supports three algorithms for traffic distribution. You can either have a round robin where you have several instances and each of them will get the calls. You can have a disaster recovery where you have a live node and a node that is a backup. So if one fails, it will go bounce to another one. Or you can have a localized one that basically will route your traffic to the node that is most geographically close to your customer. And then you can use, again, the caching and the CDN in order to accelerate some tiers of your system. So one of the examples for these born in the cloud things is we were actually approached by a Canadian broadcasting company, to help them build a website for the Canadian election. Again, it was nice because it was completely born in the cloud. So we came up with a solution that basically said, okay, we will show these real-time graphs on how the election is going, and those were coming from files that are stored in Azure storage. So those are very scalable, they're also reliable, and we can have them in multiple distributions. And every file, the latest file always represents a version of the truth. So when data comes in, it's not impacting the performance of what the customer keeps seeing. So every time there's a new dump of data, new file gets created. So very scalable, very performant. And because it's the cloud, they were able to do some perf testing using, there's a product for Visual Studio for Visual Studio perf testing that is also integrated with Azure. You can get to it from the Azure management portal and integrated with Visual Studio, where they can do all these tests on the scale units. And again, they did crazy amount of hits. 800,000 requests per second, something like a million in some times. They didn't have to buy the hardware. The whole thing was up for 48 hours. They scaled for thousands of cores and then went back down, which was very disappointing for our revenue because we had a bunch of money and then went away. So we have to keep getting customers. But that's really a great story about the power of the cloud. You don't have to go and provision all this infrastructure. The cloud will scale for you. So e-commerce. E-commerce is connected to that because those are typically by now born in the cloud applications, but they have more sophisticated set of requirements. You need to be able to integrate with a bunch of systems to take payments. You have to integrate with inventory systems, use a lot of protocols that have not changed in a while. For example, all of the stuff that is used by travel systems and so on. So we have all of these certifications for compliance, and we have all these technologies like Logic Apps, new things with Azure Functions that allow you to do all these integrations when you need them. So again, some kind of the anatomy for these things. This is based on a big e-commerce site that we run in North America, a company called Jet.com. I'll show it in a second. They need to also have APIs that are exposed to their partners, use our API management to do that. They have a website that can never go down because that's how the revenue comes in, so it's deployed in many regions. And they want the isolation and the growth, so they use app service environments. To process the data, they use a feature that we have called web jobs that allow you to do asynchronous processing for large batches of data and process stuff like incoming inventory, right? So they collect inventory from vendors, crunch the data to make it look nice on their website, put it in their SQL, and show it and sell it to customers. So some examples for e-commerce. Iberia, we have a little bit of a vertical here with cheap airlines. So that's their sort of kind of a saving brand that they launched. They launched a site with cheap flights. We also have Air New Zealand and another few airlines, Alaska Airlines that I mentioned. They used Azure App Service with Azure website in the front end to essentially have a very reactive sort of website for selling the sort of inventory that they had available. Interesting thing here is that it was a competitive situation with some other cloud vendors, and we were able to win that because of how fast it was for the development team to go build this website using our Visual Studio tools and .NET and so on. We have very good integration between our development environment and the cloud, which makes these things very easy to do. Like I mentioned, Jet.com. It's interesting from business perspective, but this is a company that launched, they raised $500 million to go compete with Amazon head-to-head on e-commerce. They have a special business model where you collect points when you buy stuff, and they chose the Azure stack end-to-end. So there's no Azure product they don't use, And they use our web apps as their front ends. The web apps are actually written in Node.js. They're not in C# or anything. And the reason they chose it is because of the continuous integration story. They can make changes to their code very, very quickly and see them in production. We have features that allow them to do testing in production. So for example, if you use Facebook, you may see new features. And if the feature is successful, they do kind of a staggered deployment. We allow that capability for customers. You can go ahead and deploy your application, and you can say, hey, 10% of traffic will go to my next version with improved features. And we will do that for you and scale your traffic in case your new version is bad. We'll roll you back to your old code. Or if it's good, we'll go ahead and get to 100%. So these are these kind of functionalities that are tough to build if you have to assemble your own. And we basically give it to you as part of our platform as a service solution. So Iberia, like I said, they wanted to have a new sort of online channel. And it was very fast for them to build it. They saved a bunch of money as far as cost because they didn't have to manage the servers, which is what you get with the cloud. And then using our integration capabilities, they were able to tie back into backends, which are old-style systems that use Sabre and all these type of older protocols for airline reservations and so on. So a little bit more about Azure App Service. Like I said, we've been around for a while. We have more than 300,000 active customers. We take more than 8 billion hits a day. I always have to update this slide because the numbers keep going up. We have very steady growth. Like I said, we've been around for 4 years. We've been in general availability for more than two. The message is this is one of these things that are not necessarily going away. When I talk to enterprise customers, I hear that a lot, and I think it's a valid statement. It's like, hey, you guys at Microsoft, if I take a dependency on this technology, are you going to cut the product? Are you going to do something else? I think the best safe way for customers is to take a dependency on something that we know is going to stick around for a while. So with Azure App Service and other Azure services, there's a huge commitment inside Microsoft to make sure customers can move to the cloud in a safe way and make sure that nothing breaks, if you will. So like I said, I talked to you about the type of customers. I talked to you about services, a little bit about the platform, right? So we can build all these applications, and we can go and provide you with this platform on-prem or in the cloud. And when we look at this platform, we look at sort of three pillars. It's fully managed. It means that, again, you don't need to update the OS. We have our own patches. You don't need to worry about security patches. You don't need to worry about versions of Windows. We also have load balancing built in. So if we take a machine offline in order to upgrade it and so on, we give you another machine because we keep a buffer of warm machines that run all the code. If you have stuff like dependency on libraries like PHP or .NET or what have you, we take care of that as well. So we have this whole huge factory. By now we manage something like several hundreds of thousands of servers, and we're really good at upgrading the OS for you. Enterprise grade, we have a bunch of features that deal with compliance, auditing. We do all of the compliance audits so you don't have to. And we have the ability to backup our backup and restore your stuff, multi-geo distribution of your app, and ability to scale in many different ways. You can scale out, or you can scale up based on your needs. You can have your app in a shared environment because it's very small and you're just experimenting, or you can go all the way to these app service environments. And last, which for us is super important for our team, is developer experience. We are a team that sort of gets to build our code for ourselves. So we have a bunch of developers. We're all passionate about developer experience. This is something Microsoft has been good at all the days until since we started doing Visual Basic and so on. we make sure that developers can be very productive very quickly. So like I said, we have features like Visual Studio integration, ability to integrate with source code repositories like GitHub, TFS, the Microsoft build server in the cloud, and so on. All these things are super easy. So I can go into Visual Studio and say, hey, I want a new app in the cloud, and the whole thing will be set up for me, and I can start deploying. I can even do debugging in the cloud. So I can put a breakpoint in the cloud and see what happened in case my app is busted. There's sort of dozens of features in this space. I'll show you. No, I don't have this slide. But again, like I said, developer experience is key to us. This is sort of how we talk to developers about how to create a cycle. So this is how we deploy our own stuff. So if you go to azure.com, our website exists in all of the Azure geo regions. It's actually deployed on 20 different stamps, if you will, or development or scale units. You can develop your app in Visual Studio. You can use Visual Studio code now on your Mac or on other environments. And you can deploy your source code or use your source code repository in the cloud. Here I'm trying to be Microsoft loyalist, so it's in TFS. You can also use GitHub or Bitbucket. We have very deep integration with all of those. So again, you just go to your our management portal, you create a new web app, and you say, I want the code to come from this repository, and magic happens immediately, and you can start coding against it. You can do your build in the cloud, and then you use our deployment slots feature that allows you to deploy your code into a pre-production environment, run automated tests on it, and when you're happy with it, you can flip into production. We also took care of these type of issues to when, hey, I have my old version in production, some customers are still using it, I don't want to flip them. We take care of draining the sessions that are existing, and we even warm up the application, because some applications take some time to load. We warm up the application and then we flip it, so customers can get great performance as soon as they see your new code. And like I mentioned before, I can even program the deployment process to have a sliding scale. So I can say, hey, I have a new version, only 10% of customers will see this new version until I'm sure it's stable, and then I'll go into production. And like I said, this is how we publish our own website. So parts of our management portal are actually running on Azure website. And like I said, Azure.com runs on Azure website, as well as some parts of other large Microsoft properties like Office blogs or Bing blogs and so on. You publish your application to the cloud. You can use, again, all of these other great technologies Azure has. You can use our database solution for SQL. You can use our NoSQL solution called DocumentDB. You can use other open source technologies that you install in Azure, other Azure with other Azure products and talk to them inside the same geoscale. We have this feature that is called a resource group, where you can bind together a bunch of Azure applications and make sure that they deploy and have a full life cycle together. So you can deploy them, delete them, and so on, and they're all connected. And then you use a bunch of tools that we have, like Application Insights, to watch your application in real time and react to either issues or improve it. So for example, we have a tool for alerts. So you can set up your application and say, hey, if a certain number of errors happens, send an email to this address or call this phone number. And we even support a webhook, so you can integrate it into your own infrastructure. So we have a lot of customers that says, okay, I have an alert on my application. I'll hook it into Slack so my team can see a message that something is wrong and go fix that. And then again, you'll go back and develop. So the important thing is, and again, as an example, our own website with Azure.com, we ship about 3 or 4 times a day. And that gives you the ability, if I tie it back to the beginning of our discussion, it gives you the ability to react to your customers and innovate at the sort of speed that the market today requires you to do. So I think I'm doing awesome on time. I'll give you 10 minutes back if you don't have questions. If you want to get started, you can use our Tie App service, or you can get a free trial. Since I do have a bit of time, I'll show you that website. So that'll be interesting because I'm going to have to do it from here. So I can select an app type. Let's say we want to see a web app. So I've been talking about it this whole time. And I can select a web app. I don't need to have an Azure subscription at this point. This creates an application that is basically temporary, and it's going to die after a few minutes. We want to create an ASP.NET starter site and hit the Create button. Just use my Facebook account to log in. And this app is being created for me. So again, very quickly, I can get a taste of Azure. This is the awkward time when you do demos because it's supposed to be ready and I don't have anything. Oh, thank you. Saved me from trying to tell you another joke. So now we have this application. We can browse to it real quick. And we see this is just a generic sort of template. Oh, this is very interesting. Oops, yeah. Cool. Now I can even make a change in real time online. So we have this cool feature that no one knows a lot about. I'm drinking from my sippy cup here. Come on, you got it. No? All right. So when we're blessed with the appearance of this online editor, we'll see all of the source code for this app. Wow, okay, great. I can go to the default page. That'll be super interesting because I don't see anything. All right. Let's see. No. Play it safe here. So all I had to do is this. I don't even need to save. And if I go back to this guy and refresh it, the hello Taipei should show up somewhere. I don't know where. Where is it? Oh, there you go. So again, it's a very quick way to interact and experience the platform. Like I said, this... jeez. Maybe... No, there you go. So like I said, I can do a bunch of things with this app, and this app has an hour, but I can get it for a day if I want to play with it more. I can download the content. I can download the publishing profile that will allow me to use it with Visual Studio and make changes and see it there. Or I can get a Git endpoint and go use Git as source code repository. So again, I would love people to go and try that and see how awesome it is, get the free trial, and get going on app service. At this point, I think I'm done with my slides. So any questions? It was that bad, huh? Cool. So thank you very much.